In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why it's the tradition of the church for clergymen to wear a cassock when they're in public is because it's a reminder to themselves of what their vocation is. It wouldn't look very good if you had a priest making obscene gestures in traffic at people or being nasty to people at restaurants and stuff like that. When people see that you're a clergyman, they expect you to behave a certain kind of way, and you know that they expect it, so you try to live up to that. It's a reminder of that vocation. Well, in the first epistle, we're reminded that we all have a vocation. All of us are called to be disciples of Christ. We all have been given the grace of baptism. We have a baptismal cross that we should be wearing everywhere we go to remind us of that calling. And at least the people who know you should know that you're a Christian. The people who don't know you might not immediately be able to recognize that you're a Christian from a distance. But the people that know you should know that you're a Christian. If they don't, you should ask yourself why that is. What are you doing wrong that nobody knows that you're a Christian? But assuming that they do know that you're a Christian, you should live up to that calling. St. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Now, St. Paul is writing this from prison. And so being a prisoner is not normally a noble thing, but when you're a prisoner of the Lord, it is something that's honorable. And St. Paul is saying, look, I'm living up to my calling, and I'm asking you to do the same thing. I'm asking you to live up to that vocation. Now, the word vocation, when we hear it in modern English, we think of vocational school, we think of a job. And that's not totally unrelated to the word, but the word, if you look at the Latin roots, it means calling. So your vocation is what you're called to do. And if we have a Christian understanding of vocation, we should be asking, if we haven't already begun our life's work, what it is that God wants us to do with our lives, and then to do it. Some of us are called to be one thing, and some of us are called to be other things, but there are some things that we're all called to be, and that's being a Christian. And he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And the word lowliness could be translated humility. Humility wasn't thought to be a virtue by the pagan Greeks. The idea that humility is a virtue is a uniquely Christian idea, and it's, in fact, one of the most important virtues. If you don't have humility, then no other virtue matters, because everything else is done out of pride, and so even though it might outwardly appear to be virtuous, it doesn't have the real Christian merit that it should have. And meekness, as I've mentioned more than once, doesn't mean weakness, like it usually is thought of meaning in modern English. A Doberman pincher that's well-trained and does whatever its master says is meek, in the meaning of the Greek term that's being translated there. But a Doberman pincher is not weak. And we are to be like that. We are to do what God tells us to do, to respond the way that he wants to. But and when we don't respond, it's because not because we can't, not because we're weak, but because we're strong enough to do what our master is telling us to do. And with long-suffering. Long-suffering means that you're willing to forbear, even though you don't, it's not, long-suffering doesn't mean that you're just suffering a long time, but there's nothing you could do about it. When you're long-suffering, that means you could do something about it, but because you're a Christian, because you love your brothers and your sisters, you're willing to put up with them, and you're willing to forbear. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's very important in the church that we have unity, and that's one of the reasons why we are so different from, say, the Protestants. For Protestants, if you're, say, an evangelical, there's a few things that you would say everybody who's a Christian has to agree on, but otherwise you could do whatever you want. And so you've got all these different denominations. There's no unity. If you couldn't go from one church to the next and hold someone accountable because they violated what your church teaches, because everyone has their own thing going. But in the Orthodox Church, we are to have unity. We are to be of the same faith. We are to work together. And when someone sins against the unity of the church. That's one of the greatest sins that they could possibly commit, because they're causing division and causing other people to possibly fall away from the faith. St. John Chrysostom says that schism is such a serious sin that not even the blood of martyrdom washes it away. Obviously, if you repent of it, that's another story, but if you remain in schism, not even the blood of martyrdom can wash that sin away. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So when it talks about one faith and one baptism, sometimes people will try to take that to mean, well, all Christians are united by the one baptism. And in the Creed, when it talks about we confess one baptism for the remission of sins, there are people who would try to argue, well, that's what unites all Christians. We're all united in baptism. Even if you're a Protestant or a Roman Catholic, we're all united. And that's not the understanding that the church has ever had. What St. Paul is saying is you all have the same faith. You don't have different faiths, but you're united by a few things. You all have the same faith, one baptism. And that baptism unites us, because by baptism we've all entered into the church. We've all become Christians. The church has given birth to us, so we're brothers and sisters. And so that's what unites us. And that can't be separated from the faith. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What that is saying is that God is obviously over all, but he is through all in the sense that nothing exists without God allowing it to exist. And he's in you all, referring specifically to those who are in the church. And it's because if you are truly in the church, if God is truly in you, then how could you not be at unity with those that have that same Christ dwelling in them and that same one faith and one baptism? This is why in the church it's so important for us to love one another, to be united, to work together. And when we see someone who does something in the church that irritates us, what St. Paul is saying, that we are to forbear. We are to be long-suffering. Even though we might not like what they did, we might be unhappy about it, and we certainly would have the ability to react, to respond in an unchristian way. To be a Christian means that you forbear, that you continue to be a Christian, to continue to love despite the fact that you don't feel like it, because love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And if you ever are not loving, it's not because your feelings got the better of you. It's because you chose not to love. We have to love. We have to love one another. And that's what it means to walk worthy of the vocation that we are called by Christ. Amen.